Now the important bit. We're going to get the Bible open. We're going to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 7. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, then some of our team is around to give you one. So please feel no embarrassment in just putting a hand up, both upstairs and downstairs. Matthew chapter 7, you'll find that on page 971. Now, if you've joined us this morning, we are working our way through what's sometimes known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's a sermon that Jesus gave. Now, if you've got a Bible open, just turn with me to chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 quickly, because this sets the scene just so we understand what we're listening to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, massive crowds coming towards him, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples," that is those who've repented, who have followed Jesus, "they came to him and he began to teach them." So here's the scene. Jesus is teaching his disciples. And you've got this massive group of people who are listening in. And I want to suggest that as we read this morning, you will be in one of those two categories. You will either be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, listening in to Jesus saying, "Jesus, we want to learn from you. We trust you. We want to follow what you say." Or you'll be in the crowds this morning, listening in, thinking, "Well, let's see what it's like to be a follower of Jesus." So as we listen, you're in one of those two categories. But let's crack on now with what Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Well, keep that open. Let's pray. Let's seek God's help. We want to hear him today. It's very easy to go through the motions on a Sunday, isn't it? But we want to hear God today. We want to be changed by him. So let's pray to that end as we look at this together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we have already affirmed today that we believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that he's coming again, and we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But Father, we also believe that this book is a book that is living and active. It's no ordinary book. It speaks to us today. And so, Father, please keep us from merely going through the motions this morning. Please, by your Holy Spirit, cause these words to live in us, to change us, to affect the way we live as we leave here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, I'm not sure if the PowerPoint's going to come up, but I had a picture I wanted to show you. But here's the thing. I have a lasting impression of my gran as I was growing up. There's lots of things I could tell you about my gran. But my gran had one of these boxes, these pill boxes, that had a day of the week for every box. Anyone had one of those? Seen one of those? And the thing I remember, we used to go and stay with my gran in the school holidays, is that every day, without fail, she would go to the correct day and she would take out some tablets. Every day, she would go through this process of taking well, it was actually quite a big bundle of tablets in there, and she would take them all, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then when it was empty, she'd refill them again, and then she'd start that process again. There it is, there's the pill box. Now, why? Why did my gran have this routine? Why did every day she go to this box and open a compartment? Well, really, because she depended upon the tablets that were inside each compartment. She depended upon them for her health. If it doesn't sound too dramatic, she depended on them to stay alive. Failing to take those tablets for my gran would have had disastrous consequences. Dependency on that medication created a daily routine for my gran. And maybe, given the smiles for some of you, that's something that many of you in this room depend on as well, and maybe you even have one of these boxes. But here's my question, whether you have one of these pill boxes or not. My question for all of us this morning is this. Do we daily depend on God for his help in the same way that my gran depended on that medication for her health? Or do we daily and weekly without fail, come to God, our Heavenly Father, for the help that he generously offers to give us? Or if I could put it another way this morning, what does your prayer life show about your dependency on God for all things that we need, but especially when it comes to living the life of being a disciple of our Lord Jesus? For all that we've been listening to through this Sermon on the Mount, for all the things that Jesus has been commanding us to, what does your prayer life show about your dependency upon God? You see, as we come back to the Sermon on the Mount this morning, this sermon, which really, again, is addressed to disciples, it's addressed to those who have repented and who are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus, with the crowds listening in, as we come back to this sermon, we find Jesus encouraging those of us here who are disciples this morning to a praying life, to a depending life. See, come with me to verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. These are all images that the Lord Jesus uses for prayer. Prayer within a context, prayer within this sermon, but it is an image for prayer. And so I want to try and summarize this morning what I think Jesus is teaching us, and then I'm simply going to work through that so that we can kind of get somewhere together. But here's what I think Jesus is teaching disciples this morning with the crowds listening in. Disciple, he says, depend on our Heavenly Father as we pursue being like our Heavenly Father. Disciple, depend on our Heavenly Father as we pursue a life of being like our Heavenly Father. That's what I think Jesus is teaching us. Let me try and show you why I think that's true. So first of all, disciple, depend on your Heavenly Father. Now, I wouldn't recommend this, but if I was to invite you to our house between about the hours of 6:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m., you would discover that there's an awful lot of asking that goes on in our house between those 2 hours. And no, that's not just me and Emma asking our 6 kids to do things, like, will you do this, will you do that, will you get that ready? But it's actually our children asking us for the things that they need. Dad, where's my jumper? Mum, I've lost my socks, do you know where they are? Dad, the printer's not working, I need to print my homework, can you fix it? Mum, which one of these bundle of sandwiches is mine? Dad, have you signed that letter for school yet? Dependence is always expressed, isn't it, through asking. Sometimes calmly, an ask. Sometimes perhaps a little bit more urgently, a seeking. Sometimes frantically, help! Knocking on a door. And it's this dependence, you see, that Jesus calls disciples to have on our Father in heaven, the God who we can now call Father because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, who forgives us and gives us a place in heaven's family, in this royal family. You see, that's what he calls disciples to. Look again at verse 7. It's a very simple verse. You probably didn't need me to stand and preach this morning, but it's very simple. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened to you. Disciple, he says, ask of God. Disciple, seek God. Disciple, knock on heaven's door. Jesus calls disciples, those of us here who'd say that's you, he calls us to an ongoing and persistent prayer life, a praying life, a life depending on God for all that we need, for all that we face. See, this isn't new. Jesus teaches a lot on prayer in different places, but we've already seen this in the sermon, haven't we? Come back with me to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 9. This then, Jesus says, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here is a pattern for asking and seeking and knocking on heaven's door. So just by the way that this is written, we perhaps lose it a little bit in our translations, but in the original language, if you read these words, Jesus is really saying to disciples, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's an ongoing thing. He's not just saying you do this once. This is a lifestyle for the disciple. Now, why? Why does Jesus address those of us here who are this mornings and says, you've got to be a prayer? Why does he say that? Well, very simply, because prayer works. Do you believe that this morning? I suspect that many of us have got questions in our head, and we're going to try and address some of those in a moment. You know, well, I have prayed and it didn't work and all those kind of things. But as a fundamental, don't miss what Jesus is saying. Why should you pray? Why does he call you to pray? Because prayer works. See, look at the assurances that Jesus gives disciples about prayer. Look again at verse 7. Ask, what does it say? It will be given to you. Verse 7, seek, what does it say? You will find. Verse 7, knock, and what will happen? The door will be open to you. There is a fundamental thing Jesus is teaching us about prayer. Prayer works, and that is underlined for us in verse 8, isn't it? For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Prayer works. Prayer is the way, friends, that we access the help of our Father in heaven. Prayer is the way to get the help that we need. And why does prayer work? Why can we sit here as disciples of our Lord Jesus this morning and be so confident about prayer? Well, it's all built into the character of God. See, look at verse 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, even as broken and evil fathers, now that's a very strong word, isn't it, to talk about kind of dads. And some of us may experience kind of more of the evilness than others, but the point is we are broken. Any one of us that is a dad in this room is broken because of sin. And if we, in our brokenness, know how to give good gifts to our kids when they ask us, then follow the argument, how much more then does our perfect, pure, never sinned Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts when his kids come to him and say, Dad, I need this. Dad, this is troubling me. See, why does prayer work? Ultimately, because the one that we pray to as a disciple is our loving, perfect Heavenly Father. A Father who loves to give good gifts to those who ask Him. That is His character. You want to know what He's like? That's what He's like. You see, Jesus here is not delivering a sermon to disciples that is meant to leave them feeling guilty about having a rubbish prayer life. Do you ever experience that? When I listen to sermons on prayer, or I think someone's going to get going on the subject of prayer, I always anticipate walking away from that sermon just feeling rubbish. Oh, I don't pray very much, and I should do more. Do you guys experience that? Well, do you know what? Jesus is not beating people up. It may be true when we listen to this that we should pray more. That might be the result. But Jesus is not saying this to leave you feeling guilty. No, this is a positive exhortation. In the middle of this sermon to disciples, he says, disciple, please pray. Please go knocking on heaven's door because God loves to answer prayer. That's what he's like. Disciple, depend on Dad. Why? Because Dad delivers. Dad can do the things that you ask. So can I ask you this morning, if you are a disciple of our Lord Jesus, do you depend on your Heavenly Father? Do you ask? Do you seek? Do you knock? What does your prayer life show about your dependence on God? Can I ask you, do you believe what these verses tell you about God? See, some of us don't approach prayer, do we? Like God is a loving father. We approach prayer like God is a stingy man who has to be coerced into doing the things that we want. Do you believe that actually, as you approach him, you approach as a child, someone he loves, someone he cares for, someone he doesn't want to dupe by switching bread for a stone? Do you believe that about yourself as you come to him in prayer? Jesus calls us to depend on our Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts. And if you're here this morning and perhaps you feel more part of the crowd that's listening in, then can I just draw your attention to verse 8? Because verse 8 has an invitation for everyone. You see that? Even for the crowds. For everyone, not just every disciple, but for everyone who seeks, who asks and seeks and knocks, there is an answer. You see, the life of following our Lord Jesus begins with asking and with seeking and with knocking. It begins for knocking on heaven's door and saying, please, I want a place in heaven's family. I want a place in this unit, Jesus, you're describing here, where you have God as your heavenly Father, where we are forgiven by following you. God, I've not treated you as I should have done. I don't deserve anything from your hands, but God, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. Because of what Jesus did, please forgive me. And please give me a place in this family. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever prayed like that? Ask and it will be given to you, Jesus says. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Or as Jesus puts it elsewhere, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. See, following Jesus begins with prayer. But for those of us who've been following for a while, it continues with dependent prayer. So, disciple, can you hear what Jesus is saying? It's just a very simple exhortation, isn't it? Disciple, depend on your Heavenly Father. Ask, seek, knock, like my gran who goes to that tablet box every day, or did go to the tablet box every day, because she depended on those tablets. Disciple, depend on your Father. Daily flip the box open because you need his help. He loves to give good gifts. Get praying. Have you ever thought about this? Much of our not having is because we don't ask much. That's what James tells us. We don't have because we don't ask. We don't come to God. We don't daily depend on him as we should. So, disciple, get praying. That's Jesus' exhortation. It's simple, isn't it? But I guess that many of us, if you're honest and you're still with me, are sitting there with some questions in your head. Any of you sitting there with some questions in your head? And maybe your questions go perhaps more towards doubts. Perhaps they go more towards, well, hang on, we've lived this prayer life. Many of us have been walking this path for years, and I have prayed, and I have asked, and on many occasions I've sought and I've knocked on the door, but it hasn't been given to me. Anyone experience that? A few of you are nodding. Well, I have. I have prayed for that sickness to go away, and it hasn't. I have prayed for that job, and I didn't get it. That wasn't recent, by the way, just in case you're worried. I have prayed for a friend to believe, and they still don't believe. Isn't that our experience sometimes of prayer? So what does that mean? As we listen to these words of Jesus, is Jesus lying? Well, no, because he's all truth. So we've got to try and understand. Is it there's something wrong in me, perhaps? And maybe there's something wrong, which is why my prayers aren't being answered. Do you ever ask questions like that as you come to a text like this? Well, friends, I haven't got all the answers to this, but let me just try and say one of the things that really helps us is that remembering where these words come in the Bible. These words of our Lord Jesus exhorting us to prayer and promising answers to prayer come within Jesus talking about what it means to be a disciple. You see, you will often find verse 7 and 8 pulled out of the Sermon on the Mount and stuck on a poster somewhere. Or you'll find them on a fridge magnet somewhere without all the other words of Jesus that go around them here. And so we think, yes, this sounds awesome, doesn't it? What a promise. And I don't want us to lose the fact that this is a simple exhortation of Jesus, unqualified, to pray because God loves to answer prayer. You must not lose that. Why wouldn't you pray if God is like a loving Father who loves to give good gifts? But when you read them in the context, they sit in the middle of our Lord Jesus speaking about being a disciple, about pursuing the righteous life, the life that he calls us to. These are not a blank check from Jesus promising God will give you whatever you ask for. They're not an invitation to treat God like a genie in the lamp. Well, you said I can ask for it, so I'm going to ask for it. God is not bound, and we have to understand this about the character of God. He is not bound to give me everything I ever ask for. Can you imagine? Just try and imagine that for a second. Can you imagine if God had given me everything I'd ever asked for? This world would be heading for, well, it is anyway, but it's heading for destruction. It would be heading for ruin just by my desires. There have been many things I have asked my Heavenly Father for that he has not given me, for which I am truly thankful now. And what is more, God in his greater wisdom may choose to deny a good gift, a right thing, a good thing as I perceive it. He may choose to deny that because he has greater wisdom than me and he can see something better that's going to happen. You see, just I guess as an earthly father would not give their child everything they ever asked for because you know a bit better, so too that has to apply to our Heavenly Father. But it doesn't change the fact that God is a loving Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. It doesn't just mean you get a blank check out of it. You see, so these verses, if I could put it like this, they teach us to depend on our Heavenly Father, to be people who daily come in prayer, but in the particular context of pursuing being like our Heavenly Father. That's where these words sit. That's how we're to understand these words. This is the context, isn't it, of this call to ask and to seek and to knock. See, look with me at verse 12. There's a little word at the beginning. What's the first word in verse 12? So, it's connected. Ask, seek, knock. Your Father loves to give good gifts. So do what? Well, in everything, in the whole of your life, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. You see, these words capture the heart of what Jesus has been talking about, what he's been teaching disciples on the mountain. So just come with me on a quick journey. Chapter 5, verse 20. For I tell you, Jesus says, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. Jesus has been detailing in this sermon that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings the life of a deeper righteousness, a righteousness that doesn't save you, but a righteousness that follows being saved by Jesus. And he's detailing a righteousness that's not just about giving a good show to people around you, but a righteousness that sinks deep into the heart and reforms you from the inside out. And then if you come to chapter 5, verse 48, how does he describe that righteousness? Well, chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What are we aiming for in life as disciples? We are aiming for the perfection of our heavenly Father. We are aiming for his beauty and his glory and his rightness and his fairness and his goodness to others. And so disciples, you see, are pursuing the life of being like our heavenly Father. That's what this sermon is about. The Father who loves to give good gifts to his children is the Father who calls us to be like him in this world in which we live. That's the heart of verse 12. Look again at verse 12. So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is everything that the law called us to. You see, verse 12 is really saying, be like Dad. Pursue a life of being like your heavenly Father. Maybe some of us have heard this in the negative. You ever heard this the other way around? So it's more like, don't do to others what you wouldn't have them do to you. You ever heard it that way around? That's kind of the more common way around this gets put. And that was certainly the teaching of Jesus' day. But you see, Jesus for disciples makes it far more positive. He actually puts it in something we should pursue rather than just retreating into. So disciple, he says, now that you follow me, you are to pursue a life of positively doing good to others, being like your heavenly Father. Not just hiding away. See, it would be, just imagine a life where you just tried to avoid doing things to others, bad things to others. You'd just recluse away, wouldn't you? It's better I don't talk to anyone because then I don't get angry with anyone. Or it's better that I don't drive my car because I'll just get really angry with all the other drivers. And so if it's just about avoiding those things, then you just recluse. But no, Jesus says, no, be active, be positive. Just like our Heavenly Father is, be looking for ways to do to others as you would have them do to you, to pursue the righteous life, being light, that city on a hill, that salt that Jesus talked about earlier in the sermon. We are to pursue a life of being like our Heavenly Father. That is the life of being a disciple. That is the life of pursuing a life that looks like Jesus. Friends, over the last few Sunday mornings, I don't know how many of you have been here for some of the Sermon on the Mount series, but as we've sat under the teaching of Jesus, as we've sat under these instructions of Jesus about the kind of life he expects Enfield Town Community Church to be living, which of us here has not felt our failure and our inability to live like that in some kind of way? Isn't that true? I think I feel probably the most hypocritical standing up and teaching it, because you teach these things and you think, I feel such a long way from this. But which of us doesn't feel our weakness not to judge others? That's what we looked at last week. Anyone walk away from last week feeling, well, check me out? I doubt it. Which of us doesn't feel our inability to be discerning? That's what we looked at last week too. Which of us here has sat under this teaching of Jesus and thought, well, I've never worried about the future. I've never worried about what I'm going to eat or drink or wear. I've never worried about those things. See, which of us always does things for God's eyes rather than others' eyes? Our giving, our praying. Which of us has done that? Which of us finds it easy to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth? Which of us finds it easy to love our enemies? Which of us doesn't struggle here with lust or with truthfulness? It's been a pretty cutting sermon series, hasn't it? You see, my guess is, as we've sat under this sermon, lots of us would say, do you know what? I just don't square up. Jesus, this is what you call me to be. I love you. I love the fact you've called me to be part of your family. But I just struggle to live this way that you're calling me to live. But that, if you begin to get there, if you have any feeling of thinking, yeah, this is tough what Jesus calls us to, then you begin to understand verse 7. Can you look with me again at verse 7? This life of pursuing being like our Father in heaven. In the context of pursuing a life like that, what does Jesus say to disciples? Ask. and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Pursue God's help as you pursue being like Him. Pursue dependency on God as you try to live out being like Him. Friends, here's been one of the biggest challenges for me, and I want you to just analyze your own prayer life for a moment. How much of your praying life is filled with asking and seeking and knocking on God's door for His help to be more like Him? For some of us, we pray a lot in this room. I know that. But how much of that praying is devoted to saying, God, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like Jesus today. God, I don't want to be angry with the people at work today that make me angry because of the way they do their work. God, I want to be gentle and patient and kind with my kids today. God, I want to be a better driver today so that I'm not kind of fuming every time someone cuts me up. God, help me to be more like you. Help me to be truthful, even when it looks like I'm going to lose face at work. God, please help me to be like you. Help me to be like the Lord Jesus. You see, come back with me to chapter 5, verse 3. Sorry to leap around a bit this morning, but it's all connected. You can't just disconnect these things. This is what Jesus says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who are poor in spirit, who listen to the Sermon on the Mount and think, oh man, I've got nothing. I've got nothing here. Blessed are those who mourn, those who listen to the Sermon on the Mount and think, oh man, I'm so sinful. I didn't even realize how sinful I am until Jesus said some of this stuff. Those who hunger and thirst, who've got that roaring in your belly to say, I really want to be better than I am. I really want to be more like Jesus. I really want to behave more like God because He's loved me and Jesus came into this world to save me. Those who are like that will come knocking on heaven's door every day and say, Father in heaven, I want to be more like you. I want to be the disciple that Jesus calls us to be. Please, please help me. And look again at verse 11, chapter 7, verse 11. Let these words sink in. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven love to give good gifts to those who ask Him? It's a wonderful assurance, isn't it? As you come knocking on heaven's door, I know that's a song, I'm not going to break out into Axl Rose, although I was going to ask Dougal, you could probably play that, can you? Where is he? There you go. We won't break into Guns N' Roses. But anyway, as you come knocking on heaven's door, you are greeted by a Father who loves to help you be like Him. See, in Luke's parallel account, he exactly the same words, except he says that the Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. See, that the good gift of the Holy Spirit is God's precious gift to us to help us pursue a life of being like Him, to grow as disciples. So friends, Jesus says to you this morning, if you're a disciple, if you're a crowd listening in, this is what He wants disciples to do. Depend on our Heavenly Father. Like my gran depended on that box. Every day she flipped open a flap. Depend on our Heavenly Father in prayer as we pursue the life of being like our Heavenly Father. Because as we do, His promise is that He will provide the help we need to do it. So what should we do? Well, let's ask, seek, and knock together, shall we? That's what we need to do right now. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we listen once again to these words of Jesus, we want to thank you for the encouragement they are to us this morning to come to you, our Heavenly Father, and ask and seek and knock on your door for the help that we need to be like you. Oh, Father, forgive our slowness to pray. Father, please forgive our self-dependency. Father, please would you make us those who come to you, knowing that you are a Father, our Father, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Oh, Heavenly Father, please, would you stir us? We first of all ask for help to be prayers, to be people who depend on you, to be all that Jesus calls us to be. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.